All right, you're on the Arms Room Show with Glenn.
And Drew.
And it is a wonderful day today. Thanks for joining us on our show. Thank you to all of our patrons for continuing to support the show. We have scheduled in the last 2 weeks, we have scheduled 4 church and 1 school Stop the Bleed. School is kind of exciting because we're going to do it at a high school during school hours, which would be kind of fun. But 4 church and 1 high school Stop the Bleed classes, which are all at no charge to the recipients and obviously cost something on our end. We got to drive there. We got to use supplies. We got to do all that. Sometimes we got to pay people to help us out. And that is all made possible thanks to our patrons. So we're enhancing the community. We're making people more prepared and more ready. Thank you to the continuing support of our Arms Room patrons. So please, if you're not a patron of the show, please consider becoming one. It's $1 a month. You can go through Patreon, look up the Arms Room Show, and it's for $10 a month, which I think I believe our show is worth at least $10 a month. And for $10 a month, you can get the extra show as well.
And extra special rants sometimes.
And sometimes you get some extra special stuff and some extra special content. And every now and then we throw some extra special stuff our patrons' way. So I would appreciate it if you guys would become patrons of the show if you're not already. And for those of our patrons out there listening, thank you very much for supporting the show. Last week I had a retard moment and I said that we were going to Zimmerman, Montana, which caused, I guess, I didn't actually go back and listen, but apparently I said we were going to Zimmerman, Montana, which caused some of our people who were signed up for the Zimmerman, Minnesota class a little bit of an alarm, and they emailed me and said, hold on a second, I thought you were coming to Zimmerman, Minnesota, not Zimmerman, Montana. Yeah, that's right. We are going to Zimmerman, Minnesota in June. From the 3rd to the 5th, we're doing a Stop the Bleed class, again, a community class, and then we're doing an IFAC Lifesaver and a Defensive Handgun class. So if you're near or in that area and you want to come train with us in Zimmerman, Minnesota, please check out what we got going on our website. And then we're doing Entangled Handgun in Terre Haute, Indiana, to add on to the Close Contact Handgun that we did last year there. So if those are courses that interest you, those are some of the traveling programs we have, you know, coming up decently quickly. June will be here before you know it. The Terre Haute class, I think, is in September, so it's a little bit ways down the road, but that just popped in my head. A little bit of news. A New York criminal, 37-year-old fella with over 20 arrests in the last 20 years, was released without bail because bail was, and I quote, racist. And he is now ran around smearing feces on random people in public. When arrested, he jokingly said to the judge, shit happens, called the judge a bitch, and then told her to go fuck herself. You can read about this wonderful website, on the othermccain.com website. The quote unquote bitch judge then released him again without bail.
Shocker.
When we talk about criminal behavior in classes, when we talk about the failures of the legal system and a system that's literally built to perpetuate itself, when I told my story on the show when Miles was here and we talked a little bit about the crazy charges I had up against me that were just silly, and when other people have shared their stories and Miles comes in here and talks about the law, and when we talk about that kind of stuff in training, we're not kidding. The system is so fucking broken that you need to do everything you can to stay out of it. There is no justice in the system. It's not a justice system. It's a legal system. It's built to perpetuate itself. Judges don't care. Drew and I have to deal with this on a civil family level with both of our exes. Judges don't care. They're not reasonable. They don't give a shit. It will take them months and months and months to come to a decision. It'll cost you thousands and thousands of dollars to finally get that decision, only to find out they misread something, misspelled somebody's name, got a date wrong or whatever, and then you're back into the fucking bullshit again. I'm telling you, there's no customer service in this system. And this system, as evidenced by the story that we just told, is not there to keep you safe. It's not there. It's there so that a judge or whoever can force their ideologies onto the rest of society. It's there so that the system can continue to exist. I've seen court cases, criminal court cases of people that I know, or civil court cases of people that I know, literally go on through several judges. That's how long it takes. A judge will sit the bench for a couple of years and then move on to another type of court system or move into a different level of court system and a new judge. And then they've got to go over everything with that judge. And that judge has to review the case. And it just gets on and on and on. I'm telling you, do everything you can to remove yourself from the system. This is not a system you ever want to be involved in. If you're in law enforcement, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you're a lawyer or a judge listening to this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I don't think any of them would disagree with me at all. This is an insanely complicated, complex, convoluted, and quite honestly, evil and broken system that just has nothing to do with doing anything good for people. This guy is a terrible person, and he's out there again today.
Smearing poop on people, probably.
Now smearing shit on people.
Yeah.
Hooray. Redwire gear moment today. Every upgrade should have a purpose and should improve upon a limitation. One of the biggest mistakes we see people make in classes when they are upgrading their equipment is that they're doing it because the thing looks cool. People ask me, one of the top questions I get is people ask me what they should upgrade on their gun. Well, should I get this trigger? What should I do about this optic? Which optic do you recommend? Yada, yada, yada. And my first question to them is usually, what limitation are you trying to overcome? Sometimes they don't understand the question. Like, what limitation are you trying to overcome? Before you upgrade your trigger, before you upgrade your optic, before you slap that little piece of rail even on your gun, before you add that super cool little hand stop vertical foregrip thingamabob, before you change your sling, before you do shit. I can tell you guys right now, Drew will back me up on this 100% because she honestly sees – we do not have the marriage where – Drew doesn't know what's in the gun safe. Drew knows everything in the gun safe. You know, we don't have that marriage that Drew doesn't understand what parts or pieces I'm buying for my guns. Drew knows all the parts and pieces I'm buying for my guns. And if I order something without telling her, or we don't talk about it or whatever, then I'll go, hey, look at this thing I got. And then I'll show her usually how it, you know, how it works or why I would have done that. I am not the guy that sits around fiddling with my guns. My guns go in the safe. I use them for work. I use them for training. I use them for hunting. I use them. And then they just go back in the safe. I don't sit around, fuck around with them. I don't pull them out and tinker with them. That's just not me. I'm not upgrade. I mean, how many times am I bolting something on or off a gun, do you think? Maybe
once every 6 months.
Yeah, it's not maybe. It's not often. Changing optics is probably the most thing I do, yeah. Because we're testing a new optic for somebody, or we're changing into a different type of mount, or, you know, we're trying to overcome a limitation. We're trying to change, or trying to test, or we're trying to do something like that. But yeah, it's not often to see me tinkering around with stuff, because every upgrade that I'm going to make on my gun is only doing that because it overcomes a limitation. I see all kinds of cool, fancy things out there and people going, this is awesome and this is cool. And so I'm like, that's cool, man. I don't want to spend my money or my time or my energy on that. I just don't. If it's not overcoming a limitation, it's not really an upgrade I want to make. You know, it's not my thing. I don't love buying gun parts. I don't care. You know, it's a functional piece of equipment. Now, that's me. You might love buying gun parts, and that's okay. And you might love tinkering with your guns, and that's obviously okay, too. That's you. You do you. But if you want to talk about functional upgrades, every upgrade should have a purpose, and it should improve upon a limitation. So especially if you're on a limited budget, ask yourself, if I'm buying this thing, what limitation is it overcoming? The optic might be overcoming your bad eyesight. The trigger may be overcoming the fact that your finger interacts better with a flat face than a curve. Whatever it is, so be it. But what is the limitation that you're overcoming? Redwire moment brought to you by Redwire gear moment brought to you by redwiregear.com. Our topic for today: maintenance and checkups on all of your firearms. Kind of sort of ties into what we were just talking about. Here is one of my most fun things to do. It is called the Gun Safe Roundup. I need to do this with Drew because it's a fun thing to do. Gun Safe Roundup, admittedly, I used to do more than I do now just because I used to go shooting more than I do now. But Gun Safe Roundup is go into your gun safe and pull out those couple guns that just rarely see the light of day. Pull out those couple of guns that you don't shoot much. Maybe they're grandpa's gun. Maybe they're a hunting rifle that you just don't use much. Maybe it's just, you know, it's your 15th AR that you built and stashed back in the back of the safe. Whatever it may be, pull out that gun that you don't shoot much. And pull out a couple of them. Pull out those revolvers. Pull out those lever guns. Pull out those old bolt actions. Pull out grandpa's gun that got handed down through the generations. Now that you got them out, take a look at them. Is everything still functional? Tighten all the bolts. Blue Loctite everything. Check and make sure no rust is forming, especially for my friends who live in more humid environments. Check and make sure the bores are clean. There's no corrosiveness that was left behind in the bore that's slowly eating away at your rifling, and you forgot to clean it, and now your rifling is getting all fucked up, and you just didn't think about it because you left corrosive shit in the rifling. And that's a fucked barrel. That's barrel game over kind of stuff. So really inspect it. Check the functional parts. Lube all the functional parts. Really look at the gun. Get to know the gun. Inspect the gun. Do that for a couple of guns that you just don't really see that much. Now the fun part. Now that you got them all operational and functional, go out and shoot them. You don't have to shoot a lot, but shoot a little. Shoot 100 rounds. Shoot 50. Shoot 20. Shoot a handful of rounds through these guns. Now, why is this important? Partially because we want to make sure we're good with all guns. I'm going to hurt some feelings with what I'm about to say next, and I don't apologize. When people say, I'm not good at shooting that gun, what they really mean to say is, I'm not good at shooting guns. Or, I need specialized equipment to overcome handicaps that I am forcing upon myself because I refuse to train with multiple platforms. If you're good at shooting, you're good at shooting. You can pick up an 8mm Mauser iron sights and shoot it well. It doesn't mean you can do with that what you could do with your, you know, 6mm precision-built rifle. I'm not saying that. But if you're good at shooting, you're good at shooting. I chuckle sometimes when people will be, and this kind of goes back to the red wire gear moment, but I'll chuckle when people will be like, oh yeah, I put this part on my gun and, you know, I really like it because it helps me overcome this limitation, like ambidextrous controls, for example. And then people will be like, I don't do that because it changes the manual of arms. And I'm like, listen here, Marine, who fucking cares? Are you telling me you don't know how to pick up another gun and fight with it or hunt with it or work with it? I never considered these things when I was a kid. We had – it's like nowadays if I'm going to use a rifle or a gun for a purpose, I open the safe. I have a selection. I have choices I can make. What gun will I use for this? What gun will I use for that? When I was a kid, my dad said, this is the gun that you will use. Shoot this. And I shot it as well as it could be shot with my skill set and the capabilities of the gun. There were no choices. I didn't have choices on stuff. Well, now that I do have choices, I want to make sure that you're going through all of your guns and not just always leaning to the ones that you quote unquote shoot the best. Because in reality, if you can't pick up any gun and use it, you don't really understand those fundamentals. You should be able to pick up any gun and use it well. Every now and then I get the chance to shoot belt feds. And I love shooting belt feds. I have a lot of experience shooting belt feds, and I always enjoy shooting them. Not just because they're machine guns or because they're full auto or anything like that, but because I deeply enjoy them on a personal level. And I will shoot them, and I'm pretty good with them. Even standing offhand shooting belt feds, I'm pretty damn good. Do you know how I shoot them? Not that dissimilar from how I shoot my carbine or how I shoot my handgun or how I shoot any other gun that someone would put in my hand. Shooting guns well is just about applying the fundamentals of shooting, regardless of the operating or the action system, regardless of the caliber. Is there some guns that are easier to shoot? Yes. Are there some guns that are more accurate? Obviously. Are there some guns that have a better action type? Obviously. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be able to shoot those other ones well. So make sure that you don't – if you have a gun in your safe, you're going through your gun safe roundup and you find a gun and you're like, man, I forgot I even had this thing. That happens sometimes. I have like old heirloom guns or guns I bought at a yard sale or something, or I bought from someone who's like, oh man, I really need some money. And I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll give you a few $100 for that. And I take it and I stick it in the safe and just kind of forget that it's there because it kind of gets pushed to the back and they go, oh shit, I forgot about that. Get that thing out. go out and shoot it. And if it doesn't have a purpose, get rid of it. People get emotionally attached to their guns. Oh, no, I got to have all these guns. This one's for this and this one's for that. And this one's like, yeah, it's good to have purpose-specific guns. But if there's a gun like you don't need, you just don't want, you're not going to use, man, get rid of it. Get it to somebody who's going to put it to good use or wants to collect it or just make the extra money and then use that money to buy more ammo for the guns you're going to shoot more. But this Gun Safe Roundup will help you find those other guns, and it will also tell you a lot about whether or not you're good at shooting. I'll go out sometimes with, you know, friends of mine and bring out revolvers and make them shoot revolvers. And they're like, oh, man, I'm not very good at shooting this. And I go, what you meant to say was you're not very good at shooting. Well, no, it's because of this trigger and this sight. So I'm like, okay. So what you're telling me is you don't fully understand sight picture, sight alignment, and trigger press. Got it. Oh, no, you understand it when it comes to your gun that you specifically purposely built for you. And that's important to be able to do to get the most out of the guns you shoot the most. So you want to purpose-driven or purpose-build them for you. You want every upgrade to be purpose-driven like we talked about in the Redwire Gear moment, but not to the point that you're so specific. Like you only drive race cars and don't know how to drive a stick, a cord around town. You know, like you have to be able to shoot these different types of guns. And if you're like, I don't really know much about revolvers, here's my challenge. Go get one. Whether you go buy a 22 revolver. They're pretty different than a regular centerfire revolver, but at least you kind of start to get the idea. Go buy a real centerfire revolver. Sadly, revolvers are oddly expensive, but you know, go get one. Borrow one from a friend for a while, whatever it may be. Get out there and get good at them. If you want to truly play the battlefield pickup game. Last week, I had an opportunity to train with a student who has a need to be able to pick up AK-47 specifically and utilize them. And this student has trained carbine, handgun, close contact, combatives, medical, precision rifle, has trained all kinds of stuff with us and has never touched an AK in his life. Just shot everything else, though. He's a really good shooter. So we start class. We go through the operating system, taking it apart, putting it back together, doing maintenance on it, checking the parts, you know, doing the admin load, doing the admin unload, how it works, everything. It's time to shoot. And he picks his gun up and he runs it like a fucking champ. Because he already understands what's needed to get the gun into operating condition. Got to get the magazine feeding source in there, got to operate the bolt, got to disengage any safeties, et cetera, et cetera. And by the end of this, just a few hours, it wasn't a very long class. It was just a fam fire basically for AKs. At the end of this class, he's moving and shooting on multiple targets between 20 and 100 yards, standing offhand, smoking steel with iron sights on an AK, which is tough because iron sights on an AK suck. And, you know, and he's doing a great job. And he's working reloads and clearing a couple malfunctions and, you know, everything's going great. Why was he able to pick it up so well? Because he's already a good shooter. He's already good at shooting. He already truly understands how firearms work. So picking up one, it's my belief, and I'm glad that this student wanted to further orient himself with this gun that he might encounter because that is important to his skill set. It is my belief that had I not given him that familiarization, he would have been just fine. Like, he might have not picked it up as quickly, and he might have had to fumble fuck his way through it, and he didn't want to have to do that under certain circumstances. He just wanted to be able to pick it up and work with it. So that's obviously why he came to the fam fire. But if I just put an AK on the table and a loaded magazine next to it and say, figure it out, man, there's no doubt in my mind he would have figured it out on his own, and then he would have shot it on his own, and he would have made hits on his own, and he wouldn't need me to fucking explain anything. We shortened that learning curve tremendously, obviously, by giving some instruction on it. But because he already understands firearms, because he's already a good shooter, it wasn't hard for him to be able to shoot well. He had already spent the time and the energy and the effort developing these other shooting skills. So again, he was already a good shooter. He shoots all guns well because he understands how to shoot them well. He may not be the best with certain ones, but he can get the job done with anything. So a lot of this is just understanding if you had to grab any gun in your safe, any of them, how good are you really with it? Do you understand the manual of arms and the operating condition for that gun? Do you know specifically what needs to be maintained? Do you have a gun sitting in your safe that's like on its last leg for a barrel? It's on its last leg for a recoil spring. It's on its last leg of a trigger, and you just don't know. And with a quick purchase online and 30 minutes or so, you know, on your workbench, you could fix this gun and keep it going for so much longer. And maybe that's Grandpa's gun. You know, did Grandpa replace recoil springs? Did Grandpa take care of the barrel as well as he ought to have? Did Grandpa, you know, oil the stock like he should have? Probably. Have you been doing that? Have you been maintaining that gun that well? I have a gun that I baby. I don't baby most of my guns. I am not nice to most of them. Not purposely. I'm not out there just throwing them on the ground like a fucking idiot or anything. But I am... My guns are tools, and so I treat them like tools. I'm not banging them around like an idiot again, but, you know, I'm not afraid if they get dirt. I'm not afraid if they get used. I have a 22 rifle. I love 22 rifles. I kind of collect them sort of. And I have this 22 rifle that's from my great-grandfather, and I baby this thing. Like, if I take it out and shoot it, it's like the glass gets cleaned. You know, I check stain on the stock. If a nick happens, I fix it. You know, I baby this gun. It's very special to me. I shoot it well. The gun also shoots well. It shoots well, and it's from the early 1900s. You know what I mean? Like, and this gun shoots phenomenally because over the years, person to person to person, it has been maintained very, very well. There was a short time where it got kind of beat up when my dad lost control of it while he was in the military. And when he got home and got it back from his brothers, he was able to get it back to operating condition. But including, you know, his brothers losing the original fucking 5-round magazine that came with it, which was a real, real bummer. But we got some aftermarket stuff for it, so it was good. But point being is I want to pass that gun on to my sons and from their sons. And to their sons and on. This is a piece of family history. This thing was used in trapping camps, and my grandfather built a business with guns like this, you know? And they didn't have a safe full of guns. They had a 22, they had a hunting rifle, they had a shotgun, you know? They didn't have a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
They couldn't carry a bunch of shit. They couldn't store a bunch of shit. They didn't have gun safes full of guns like we do. This didn't have that. My ARs, I don't care if they get passed on to my kids. I mean, I want my kids to have my shit, but like, I'm not like, oh, this gun has been like, it's just a fucking gun.
Yeah, but at one point, your great grandfather thought the same thing when he bought it.
That's probably true. That's probably true. But this particular 22, it's very special, you know? So you're going to have those guns in your gun safe that are incredibly, you know, if they're heirlooms, or maybe you do have that AR that you're like, I want to pass this on to my kids. Like, that's the gun in your gun safe, especially as part of your gun safe roundup. That should really be well maintained. Like, what is the service condition for this?
Don't overly clean it.
But are you – you need to spend less time scrubbing the barrel, like which is what Drew's talking about, and more time checking the springs and making sure everything is within its service life. You know, do you know the service life of a, you know, takedown pin detent spring? Because you should. If you run an AR, you should know that. You should know what the service life of a buffer spring is. You should know what the service life of your magazine springs are. You should know what the service life of these things are so that you can replace them appropriately. You know, and you don't have to have it memorized. I certainly don't, but I do have it on a piece of paper, you know, that tells me, hey, this is what if your gun you think is approaching this, just take this 10-cent spring out and replace it with another 10-cent spring. Yeah. That way, no matter what, this gun's going to run. A little bit of effort here can go a very long way to making sure that all the firearms in your safe are ready to rock and roll. I kind of imagine it like this. Imagine all of my tribe shows up to my house tomorrow.
Yikes.
And the Russians are invading. Again, we're back to Russians invading.
I don't have food to feed everybody
yet. Yeah, yeah. Drew's like, I'm going to get to cooking. Everyone's got to be fed. Feed everybody. Drew's practicing well. Drew cooks already. Like, sometimes it'll just be her and I, and she'll be like, all right, dinner's ready. And I'm like, is someone coming over? And she's like, no. Well, we're going to do all this food. We'll keep it as leftovers. We'll eat alcohol. We're going to eat this for the next 6 days, apparently, whatever. Because holy shit.
Whatever.
She makes a pot. She reminds me of, like, the old, like, army cooking pots, you know what I mean? Those big giant, there were these giant stainless steel bathtub-looking things, and they would just make, it's basically what Drew makes.
My soup pot is not that big.
Big for a couple people. If you're ever hungry, Drew's got you. But I imagine my whole tribe, my family, the people that I care about, show up at my house tomorrow and they're like, hey, man, we had to run out the door. We have limited supplies. We were in transport. You know, we were in transit from place to place. And God damn it, I need a gun. What if I had to start emptying my gun safe, you know, to provide firearms to the people that I care about or provide, you know, for a neighborhood defense. Like, people go like, I wouldn't help my neighbors giving them guns. They get their own guns, goddamn it, right now, or fuck them. Okay, that's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it, if I was literally having to defend my area against a band of marauders, let's say, and I have some neighbors that I could put up on rooftops or whatever to fucking help out, and they're like, all I got is this fucking spear I made from a tree across the park. I'm like, I would rather give you a gun. Seems like a better idea. And I may not give them my best, but maybe that gun I pull out as part of the gun safe roundup, maybe that's a good gun to give them. Hey, man, here's a gun. Point it in the direction of the enemy and put some bullets in them. I want that thing to run. More than anything else, I want the guns I pass out to someone else to run. Because I know how to fix those problems. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to take the shittiest gun, but I might know how to fix those problems. Someone I might have to hand a gun to, and that might include a family member, a kid, might not be as adept at fixing problems. And I don't want to hand them a gun that's going to start having hiccups and problems because of this or that or something else. We had a student in defensive carbine kind of help me prove this point a little bit about, like, maintenance. And he has a great gun. Just this last weekend, we had this nice big defensive carbine class, lots of fun, lots of great students. And competition for Top Shot was fucking stiff, man. It was good, really good. But this guy's got a great gun, runs like a top the whole class. He's been through other classes. For all I know, he shot the same gun, always runs like a top. The first shot in Top Shot. And he's a contender for sure. Like, he's a good shooter. So it's like the first shot in Top Shot, boom, he gets an odd little double feed situation. What looks like a double feed, and he clears it out. He goes again, boom, happens again, bam, happens again, bam, happens again. Doesn't get anything past his one shot. He's about 4 or 5 malfunction clearances in, and I'm like, whoa, 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 hold on, man. Properly assess that shit. Obviously, it's not working what you're doing. You're just, you know, but he's under, like, a little bit of pressure. He's trying to get it done really quick, and he's kind of jerking this gun off, but we go to clear the malfunction, and sure as shit, he's got a stuck case. Now, we go over that in class, but he was just kind of forgot about it as he's going through, you know, the little bit of stress at Top Shot. And case won't come out. So we got to let the gun cool a little bit, knock the case out. Chamber is super, super dirty. Now, that's a relatively easy fix in training. Let's get that fixed up real quick and get back on the line. But this happened in Top Shot. First round, he got one fucking shot. Shot like a champ the whole rest of the class. The gun never hiccuped that I saw. First shot fired. Okay, let's imagine that wasn't Top Shot and that was home defense. Let's imagine that wasn't Top Shot and that was, you know, raising rifles to go be part of a mutual assistance group to go defend your area, your locale, your neighborhood, whatever it may be. Fuck. Gun ineffective. So make sure you're following the proper maintenance schedule for your gun. We talk all the time about how we don't really, you know, clean our guns that much, and, you know, we mostly just perform functional maintenance on them, and we're not sitting there scrubbing the barrels. Like Drew said, we don't want to sit there and scrub the barrels all the time. It's actually not needed, nor is it good for the barrel. But there is still a service maintenance schedule that does have to happen on your firearm. And is that properly happening? Now, you also want to think about what you are outfitting your guns to have on them. I've got tons of students that I work with that have clones of multiple rifles, you know, or they're very similar setups anyway. That's a very good idea to have. Number one, it's extra parts for later. And number two, if I am handing guns out to different people, let's say, again, family, close friends, for whatever reason you may be doing this, and they go, hey, man, how does this optic work? And I'm like, oh, what do you have over there? Oh, that's the XYZ. Oh, okay. Hey, which one do you have? Oh, that's the ZYX. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, what do you have? Oh, yeah, that's the ABC. Oh, what do you have? Oh, that, oh yeah, that's a CBA. Next thing you know, you're sitting there trying to explain eight different fucking optics and 10 different, you know, magazine. Oh, no, don't use the magazines for that gun. No, you use that. Use that. If you yourself are not incredibly well-versed, number one, you're not going to be explaining it to anybody else. Oh, shit, man. It's been years since I used that gun. Hold on. Hey, let me see. Let me look through that reticle. Hey, hold on a second. Let me see that gun. Let me show you how this works. Oh, no, that one works differently. And if you have such a huge variety of guns that you don't really use that much of, maybe don't share magazines, don't share ammo, have different calibers. Oh, okay, yeah, you want to hand the 300 blackout, you know, to one of your random friends and or families, and hey, only use 300 blackout in here, and don't mix your ammo up with anybody else. And the next thing you know, they're definitely mixing their ammo up with somebody else because they're not in this world. Like, these are all potential considerations that you have to make if you're looking for what your gun safe roundup or what your ultimate, you know, collection kind of ought to look like. Now, it is fantastical, the stuff that we're talking about. Giving guns to your tribe to help you defend off whatever. I mean, it's crazy, right? When in the world, in any, I don't know, last few weeks, right? I mean, has it ever happened in the last few weeks that in a country like America, a established, civilized country, people were just, I don't know, receiving firearms, you know, and they didn't know how to use them, and they are hoping that the guns are well-maintained and functional? I mean, is that just a crazy idea or what? You know, and then they were having to use these firearms to potentially defend their country against a large invading superpower. Like, that's not real, is it? That doesn't happen, does it? I don't think it's as far-fetched as people want it to be. I think people want things to be far-fetched because they're scary. That's why people don't like taking medical courses. That's why people don't like talking about private security. That's why people don't really like doing the real self-defense shit. They want to go to classes where they get a move and shoot, and they shoot the targets, and they have fun, and they get a laugh and joke, and it's a good time. Those are the classes that we fill up. We fill those fucking classes. The classes we don't fill, and quite honestly, often have to reschedule or sometimes even just cancel, are the hard ones. The ones where you have to fight people. The ones where you have to talk about horrible shit. The emergency preparedness stuff, the survival stuff, the criminal behavior programs. Those are the ones people have a hard time with. Force on force, where people are gonna get shot. They don't want that. It's scary. And I understand that concept. But I think people make things unrealistic in their heads because it's scary. Who thinks about their significant other dying? I mean, how many of you truly even have a life insurance policy on yourself or your significant other or your kids? How many of you have a life insurance policy on your kids and you're the benefactor? How fucking horrible is that to think about? That's fucking horrible. But wouldn't it be nice if something happened and you had a terminal illness clause on this life insurance plan and your kid got super sick and probably wasn't going to make it? And instead of you going fucking bankrupt and broke, you could tap into this policy and get some of that money so that maybe you could take some time off of fucking work? What are you going to do? Your kid or your spouse gets super sick. Are you going to be able – you're still going to go to work? You tell me you're still going to go to work? My kid goes to live in the hospital for the last few weeks or months of their life. I ain't fucking going to work, guys. I'm sorry. I'm canceling every fucking class. And I'm going to go live with my kid. And I'm going to make the most out of the time I have left. And I would do the same thing if I get super sick or something horrible happens to me. I want those things to be taken care of. They're not fun things to think about. This is not enjoyable shit to sit and ponder. Nor is taking other people's lives because they're trying to kill you or hurt you. It's more fun to look at the tools of things. It's fun to debate caliber or what optic would be better or how many lumens we need in a light or whatever other cool shit we can talk about. What units use this piece of equipment because that must mean it's real good and stuff. It's not as much fun to talk about the more realistic shit like what's going on in the world today. Is it real that a foreign superpower suddenly, not really that suddenly, but also kind of suddenly, invades your land because they want what you have and their leader is a little nutty and starts attacking you and you have to help by maybe redistributing some of your guns to your neighbors, family, friends? We have to defend our homes, defend our neighborhoods maybe? Get ready potentially for a full-on fucking invasion? Is that a real thing? It is a real thing. It's not fun to think about. And people are like, what happened in World War II? People are like, nah, that's a long time ago.
But is it though?
It's not that long ago. That is not that long ago.
It was my grandfather.
That's not that long ago.
Yeah.
We're talking in the 1940s here, guys. Yeah. 1930s to 1940s. This is not that long ago.
My grandfather.
Hasn't even been 100 years.
Yeah, some people's parents still at this point.
When was the last time that we were outright, obviously, physically attacked on our own soil? Conspiracy theories aside for a second.
Pearl Harbor?
9/11.
Oh, no, yeah, duh.
Obviously. Duh. How long ago was that? Well, everybody listening to this podcast was probably alive.
Yeah.
It's not that long ago.
And the last one before that was Pearl Harbor, if I can – yeah. Well, no, because
World Trade Center bombing, number one.
Well, but then
Timothy McVeigh, Oklahoma bombing.
Yeah, but he was homegrown. That was – I'm thinking of like forces outside.
Oh, I'm just talking about straight-up attacks on
American soil. I mean Boston Marathon bombers.
Boston Marathon bombing.
I mean
– all kinds. There's all kinds. But I'm talking about the last big, oh my God, like we might be invaded by a foreign force.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Would probably be
– Pearl Harbor.
9/11 and then Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. No, you're right about that.
But it's still – between Pearl Harbor and 9/11 really wasn't that much of a big gap. And now it's like we could be potentially facing World War III. And I mean, that is a potential. It's a possibility. We never thought it would be. And we've kind of all been joking, throwing up memes. But with Biden in office, we have no fucking clue what's going to happen.
Anything's possible.
I don't think he knows.
Lizard people. I'm in on all of it now. Whatever the weird shit was, I'm like, yep, that's happening.
Yep. I mean, with that man in office, who the fuck
lizard
knows
people, pedophile rings, probably, fucking probably. Why not?
It's the world is slowly happening. Burning. It's not to get off track here, but that one thing that you always recite. It's the hard times make hard men. Hard men make good times. Good times make soft men. Soft men make hard times. And it's like we're living in a world right now where it's slowly burning because of these soft men while nothing's being done and we're getting trampled. All the good people are getting trampled. Look at gas prices. We should
all that is required for evil to triumph.
Yeah.
Is for good men to do nothing.
We should be up in arms about our gas prices, our food, our
now let's
inflation.
Talk about that. So let's talk about that. We should be, Drew says, up in arms. Up in arms. What that means is to gather arms, and I don't mean the two that God gave you. I mean actual arms, tools, weapons. We should be up in arms.
And banging down our politicians' doors.
And doing things to fight. How are we going to all be up in arms if tomorrow the government, and if you don't think this is possible, you're a fucking idiot. If suddenly they just stop allowing people to get guns. It is happening, my friends. I'm not talking about door-to-door confiscation.
I mean, they did
right now, the ATF, right now, the ATF is slowly and quietly shutting down tabletop FFLs. People aren't hearing about this because it's not the kind of news that will make the news. But right now what's happening, the ATF is going back and re-auditing and re-reviewing small little clerical errors that would normally be overlooked for tabletop FFLs. In other words, people who operate out of their homes, and they're shutting them down. And they're slowly doing that.
And if you don't,
and they just went and shut down all these guys, the majority of them who were selling those solvent traps, i.e. 4-1 suppressors. They are slowly doing this shit kind of behind the curtain. And if you don't think suddenly one day it's just not going to be like, okay, boom, all the guns are done. You're not allowed to go buy guns. And now we really do need to fight back if we're not already fighting back before then. And now you've got to outfit all your neighbors. You got to outfit your friends and your family. Are you ready to do that? Or more importantly, are your guns ready to do that? Because here's the reality. It doesn't take a 9/11 for us to be under attack. It doesn't take a Pearl Harbor for us to be under attack. My friends, we're already under attack. Your way of life is under attack. Inflation is out of control.
And if you don't think that COVID was their pressure test to start shutting shit down, 100%. I don't know.
We all complied. I don't care what kind of a badass you think you are. We all of us, Drew, I, everybody, fucking everybody. Some of us complied less. Some of us resisted more. But yet we all in one way, shape, or form complied.
We did.
They got the whole country to shut the fuck down. They got people to pull their kids out of school, mm-hmm. stop going to church, shut down their businesses, stop going to work, take quote-unquote free money from the government. They gave you a $600 stimulus check. They just gave themselves a 22% raise while 8% inflation is happening. And gas prices are $5 a gallon or more. And what are you doing? Trying to figure out where you're going to go out to eat tonight. That's what you're doing. We're sitting here talking about upgrading our guns and which red dot should we get, blah, 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 blah. It's often been said that when you think it's time to start burying your guns, it's probably time to start using them.
Yeah.
And at that point, realistically, it's too late.
Yeah, there's no need to bury. You're already well over your head at that point. Like, you're already fucked.
So the point is, if you had to take your tools and give them out to people, are they ready? And I don't want to hand granddad's lever gun out. I don't want to hand my bolt action rifle out. I don't want to hand those kinds of guns out to my friends and to my family because I'm not looking to try to have someone fight a good fight with me with a kind of outdated piece of equipment. Now, if that's all you've got, consider modernizing it. And I'm not saying wrench on granddad's gun. Please don't do that. It's an heirloom. But if you have guns that aren't up to date, maybe it's time to make them that way. Look, a lever gun can be a hell of a tool. You slap a red dot and a suppressor on it. I'm not saying it isn't. Just think about modernizing some of your tools. Maybe bring them up to date because if that's a thing I got to hand out, it's going to be really easy to go zero that red dot and then hand that to someone and say, you see this red dot? Put the red dot on the thing you want to shoot and shoot. Instead of, okay, what you got to do with these sights is, now these are different sights. These are peep sights. Oh, no, this is a Tang sight. Oh, no, this is an adjustable distance sight. No, fuck all that. If you can, just update your shit to where it has standard basic stuff on it that you can explain to people. If it doesn't have a red dot on it, put a red dot on it. You can get cheap, inexpensive red dots these days that are very well made. In fact, I shouldn't use the word cheap and inexpensive in the same sentence. You can get inexpensive red dots these days. Hollow Sun, the lower end Vortex stuff. Even the primary arms red dots are pretty damn good. And you can get those things and slap them on your guns and voila, you have red dots on your guns. Now, it's very easy to just hand that gun to someone and say, turn the red dot on. You see the red dot, put the red dot on the thing you want to shoot and start shooting. And at least, if nothing else, they're going to keep some heads down. At least, if nothing else, they've got that. And people go, I'm not going to be passing my guns out because of this or that. Okay, maybe that's not you and that's okay, but can you hand these guns to your kids? Are your guns ready to go? If you've been sitting, and I'm guilty of this, if you've been sitting there on a safe full of guns that need to be maintained that you haven't lubed in a while, I keep telling Drew, like, we got to have like a gun maintenance day. You know, there's some guns that get really, really well maintained and others that kind of get ignored because I just don't use them that much. Most of the shows we do, by the way, guys, are not us preaching at you. It's us confessing what we need to work on and then also reminding you to do the same thing.
Yeah.
That's the majority of our fucking shows. And this is certainly one of those. I need to go out and do more gun safe roundups. And get my guns up to date. I also need to get into my safes, our safes, and start cleaning stuff up and maintaining things. Drew and I took the muzzle loader rifle out the other day and cleaned it up and got it ready to go and had a great time with it. Just having fun shooting.
Yeah, it was.
50 caliber muzzleloader rifle. The hoot. And just looking at what this thing is and is not capable of doing. And just having a good time with it. So get into your gun safe. Take a look at what you got available. Maintain the guns. Look at the springs. Look at the lubricant. Look at the wood. Look at the plastic parts. Look at everything. Make sure everything is functional. If you had to hand this gun to someone tomorrow, tonight, is it ready to roll? And where would you start? What's your priority of gun handing out, you know?
Yeah.
The last man who shows up kind of gets the shit gun. That's just how it's going to have to be. And we think, like, man, if I have to show up to it, maybe I'm out to dinner with my family and some shit kicks off and I don't have a chance to get home to get my stuff. And so I got to go to a friend's house. And maybe they've got to do the same for me. Maybe they got to come to my house and go, shit, dude, we're out to dinner. Your house was the closest. We came straight here. Shit's popping off and we got to go. We got to get some guns and we got to go. And I'm like, oh, hold on. Well, hold on a second. We got to lube these guns real quick. Oh, hold on a second. I didn't zero any of these red dots. That part I will say, sidetrack for a second. If you have an optic that's not zeroed in your gun safe, shame on you. If you've mounted an optic and it's been mounted for more than a week and you haven't zeroed it, I know you got it. You know, you need the time to go do it. I understand that. Zero that shit. At the very least, boresight zero it so at least it's on fucking paper. You know, boresighted at 25, 50 yards or whatever. I'm not talking about the dumb little laser things. I mean, actually look through the barrel and, you know, adjust the optic to the point that you're looking at through the barrel. And you can do that at your kitchen table looking across the street to your neighbor's house or whatever, but or to a park or whatever. But get at least boresighted. But get that shit to a range and sight that shit in. Get that thing zeroed. Gun safe roundup. One of my most enjoyed exercises I do. Dig into your safe or safes. Get the guns out. You don't shoot much. Get them out there. Shoot them. Have fun with them. Learn how to shoot a revolver. Learn how a lever action gun works. Learn how different operating systems work. Learn how an AK works. Look at the different guns that are available in your communities and that might be used by other people that you might have to contend with. And go down at the very least, rent one from an indoor gun range and shoot it. It'll be worth the $100 or whatever it takes you to do that to get down there and learn about that system a little bit. Learn about what it's capable of, what it's not capable of, how to load it, how to clear malfunctions, and how to do all that shit. You want to know this stuff. The world is not as it ought to be, to quote the late, great William April. Start thinking about the scary shit. Because it's coming. Anything to add to that, Drew?
No.
Independence training moment. What did Drew and Glenn do this past week to better prepare any of the four zones for an emergency? This one is more of an internal preparation. And that was making sure that within our tribe, we had two situations happen in our tribe. One was a disruption of relationship harmony in our tribe. And another was a disruption of some inner family harmony. Resolving those resentments amongst the tribe. Those small resentments, those small cuts become death by a thousand cuts if you don't resolve them. They become toxic infections. So we resolved them. and everything is resolved, both with other tribe members that had issues amongst themselves and within our inner family where there was some small resentments, nothing major. It's the little shit that gets you. Always is. Big wounds are easy to handle. Fucking simple. You see them. They're right there. Easy to deal with. So those little fuckers, they become toxic, fester, boil. They rot from within. So we started, or didn't start, but we worked on some small resentments and got them fixed. Independence Training Moment brought to you by Independence Training. Find us at trainingaz.com. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you. You get hosting information via email, info@trainingaz.com. Always an easy way to get a hold of us. Remember to follow us on Facebook as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, and Redwire Gear, and MRC Phoenix. And it is indeed Monday, my friends. That means the MRC Phoenix run at Chupacabra in Mesa, Arizona is live, 6 p.m. We run Wednesdays, 6 p.m. at Phoenix Beer Co. up in Scottsdale. Everybody's welcome, all running types. You can shoot us an email, info@trainingaz.com. We'll give you all the details. If you know how to get a hold of us, otherwise you can DM us on Instagram or whatever. That's fine too. We'll give you the details. All running skills, all running knowledge. We have a guy who's running with us now pretty regularly, even on the monthly runs and everything, who started running with us. This guy was like he's a warehouse worker, and he showed up straight from work, right? Which means like his like black, like, you know, orthopedic type warehouse worker shoes, right? The ones that are made because you're on your feet all day.
Yeah.
You know, they're like really sturdy, almost kind of like boots, but not boots. And like his work clothes, you know, like Dickies jeans and a t-shirt. And he started trotting. And then he started walking. And now he's running 2 miles. And that's only been a few months.
Yeah.
Really, that he's been working on this with us.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on his own, of course, and he works out on his own. And now he's got running shoes and running shorts. Informed us last week he'd bought some of the darn tough running socks we recommended mm-hmm. to him. And he's slowly getting some of the right gear, and he's tracking his time. He's on Strava with us. He's tracking his time. He's doing his stuff. He's getting better and better. But he started by clod hopping in work boots, trotting and half walk, half jog with us. And now he's really getting it
mm-hmm.
because he put in the time and the effort and he's got the commitment. He's doing it, man. And I love seeing that stuff. I love seeing him at the runs. And he's a cool dude to hang out with. So consider that. You don't have to be amazing. You don't have to have all the right tools. It's the same as coming to a training class with us. We don't expect you to know. You don't know what you don't know. Show up and run with us. And if you're like a high-speed athlete, show up too. We got people you can run with. You can go run with Shirtless Jim. That guy's a fucking animal. All right, you can go run with someone who can keep up with you, you know, or if you want to walk it, you want to bike it, you want to bring your dog, all those things are welcome. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Make sure you check out the other services and opportunities that the network provides. Next week, we're going to have our very own Ben, though I could also say Ben will not be representing Independence Training. Next week, he'll be representing his new company, Greenfeet Medical. He's going to tell us all about what he's got going on there. And he's also specifically going to talk about overcoming silly medical concepts seen on social media. He's basically started creating his own social media presence by doing nothing other than demystifying and calling out the bullshit put out by some of these organizations that are really big, quote-unquote, influencers and are literally putting out life-threatening, dangerous information about medical concepts. And all Ben is doing is making really great videos debunking all that bullshit. You can find him on Instagram as Greenfeet Medical, so you can see the videos he's posting. We're also reposting them on Independence Training's Instagram account as well. Until next time, guys, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.